A college professor posed this question to his students. What would you recommend? The father has syphilis, the mother tuberculosis. They've already had 4 children, and of those children, 4 are blind. The second one died, the third is deaf, and the fourth has TB. Now, the mother is pregnant with her 5th child, and the parents are willing to have an abortion if you decide what they should do. What do you think they should do? Well, the majority of the class voted that she should have the abortion. Then the professor said, "Congratulations, class, you have just killed Beethoven," for those are the circumstances that they were in his life at that time. And sadly, that is the mentality of many today. Today I'm here to celebrate the value and the sanctity of human life. This day is intentionally planned to coincide with the day closest to January 22nd, when 46 years ago, the Roe versus Wade decision went through our Supreme Court and legalized abortion on demand. We wish we never had to deal with it or think about it, and perhaps not since the controversial issue of slavery ripped across America has one subject troubled our country like abortion. It's been a hot issue for decades, and it's not going away. Not even the President of the United States can sustain a noncommittal stance. It's something that we must deal with as much as we don't want to, and that's why, in part, in 1984, President Ronald Reagan decided to remember this horrible anniversary with the Sanctity of Human Life Day. He could not change all the laws by himself, but he could speak up for the unborn. That word, abortion, bring it up in a social gathering or in a party and you're sure to clear a room really fast. It is a subject that is completely polarizing, even though we don't see it. We don't know when they occur, but in our society today, it divides schools, it divides churches, it divides families. Everybody's picking a side. Are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? They even go on, as they say, they like to call each other the fundamentalists against the pro-death camps. And the rhetoric is usually so loud that we never hear what people are truly saying, and seldom do we even know what the other side is trying to tell us. We need to be well-informed and speak the truth in love on issues related to the sanctity of life. We are often as uninformed as the rest of the population because the media portrays stereotypes instead of the truth. For instance, many people assume or believe that the issue of abortion is primarily a teenage problem or that it is an inner city problem, when the statistics reveal that 76% of abortions are performed on those who are over 20 years old. So that's not a teenage problem. And 64% of those are white women. So that's not ethnic or really inner city. And 33% of those performed on women who already have children. And we have as a church may believe that it is the unchurched that has an issue. But statistics show us there that 54% of all women having abortion affiliate themselves with Christianity. And of those, 4 out of 10 are attending church on a regular basis. As we are more concerned with offending somebody than speaking out the truth about another life. And why is that? Is it fear? Maybe fear of rejection or fear of looking silly. We live in a culture, as my pastor coined it, that is professionally offended. We don't want to be the ones who offend, so we back away. But as we back away from that issue, thousands of lives are being lost. A few years back, Dr. James Dotson declared, "On the issue of abortion, we are confronted with the most terrible of times of all evil. The Nazis killed 6 million Jews and undesirables during World War II. But we in the United States, the great bastion of liberty and protection for the weak, have now slaughtered more than 20 million innocent babies." That was at the time of his quote. The time that was up here was over 40. We are now, since Roe v. Wade, at 60 million lives that have been lost to abortion. Though we are against abortion with our whole heart and all of our soul, and we as a church stand against it with all that we have, there's something that we need to say today. We need to answer the question, what does it mean to be pro-life? What should we do in a world that is professionally offended? What should we do about those that are carrying out physical aggressions about the abortion industry in the name of God or Jesus? Well, first, we have to continue, no matter what, to affirm the value and dignity of all life, both the born and the unborn. The Bible says, as Pastor quoted from Scripture this morning, that Psalm 139, 13 through 16, God himself takes responsibility for the formation of the unborn. He is the one who knits babies together in the mother's womb. He is the one who sees their yet unformed substance. And he is the one that notes that they who they are while they're still in the womb. So who is it that gives life and brings life? It's God Almighty. Who is it that knits those little fingers and toes and nose and mouth together and literally knits them with a bond together? It's God Almighty. We know that Jesus came to the earth as a human. Starting in Luke 1:31, it says, "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." And that story goes on to say that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, when you look at that, both Elizabeth and Elizabeth's fetus that was growing inside her knew that Mary did not enter that room alone. She was carrying inside her our Lord and Savior, who was at that moment just a very early embryo. So if we believe in the Bible, and I believe we must, then we have to reaffirm our belief in the sanctity of human life of both the unborn and the born. We have to say once again in clear tones that from the moment of conception, there is a distinct individual who has come into being, an individual who is made in the image of God, an individual with a human soul, and an individual for whom Christ died. We must say, and we must hold that up. We must continue to insist that when a baby is aborted, it is not just simply the termination of a pregnancy, or that it's not the expulsion of fetal matter, but it is the killing of an innocent human being who was created in God's image. Something has gone wrong in our world. In this country of America that we live in, we encourage horrible behavior for others. Look at the 18-year-old girl who years past was in the news, that in a moment of fear and desperation, she threw her baby out the window and fractured its skull. We can condemn her all we want to. It was a horrible thing to happen. But at the point that they put a $500,000 bond on her head and punished her so severely for something that she could have totally legally done just 5 months earlier in her moment of fear and desperation. There's a kind of moral schizophrenia when this country is in an uproar on a mother who drove her kids into a lake, but they're not shocked at the fact that she could have done it legally while the children were still in her womb. What I'm saying is that we as a church must reaffirm the high value of human life and go against the moral schizophrenia of this age. We must say that unborn children are just as valuable in the sight of God as those who happen to make it out of the womb. I tell you the truth, that the womb is the most dangerous place in America today. You have a 1 in 4 chance of not making it out alive. We must remember that God is not calling us to just hate abortion. He's calling us to value life. He's calling us to value the life of the baby's family, and everyone that this child will impact in the future. He's not calling us to simply make abortion illegal. He's calling us to make it unthinkable in the world around us. Another way to be pro-life, though it may be unpopular, we must continue to speak out. Proverbs 24:11 through 12 says, "Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, 'But we knew nothing about this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? We have to rescue those who are being led away to slaughter. We have to speak boldly about the things that we believe boldly about. Think about what you talk about on social media, what you're Snapchatting, what you're Facebooking, all these different things. Think about the things that you're speaking with others around you about. Those are the things that you feel boldly about. Those are the things that you're speaking of. So as we're speaking about those things, are we speaking about human life? Are we speaking about the value, or are we speaking about the dinner that we made or we ate? Or are we speaking about our kids winning their prize at school? We have to learn to tell the truth to a generation who doesn't want to hear it. We have to say that when you kill an unborn child, you have violated the sixth commandment, which teaches us thou shalt not kill, or in the newer translations that say you shouldn't murder. And I know that it's not politically correct to use those words like kill or murder these days, but think about Peter and John when they were in Acts and they were sharing the gospel and telling others about Jesus. They were threatened to go into prison. And rather than saying, Lord, save us from prison, we don't want to go, here's what they said. They said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's the prayer that we have to have. That's the prayer that we have to turn and ask God, give us the boldness that we need to tell this generation that doesn't want to hear the truth what his truth is. When the Bible speaks, we must speak. And when the blood of the unborn has stained this nation to the tune of 60 million dead in less than 50 years, isn't it high time for us to stand up and start telling the truth? Please understand something. We are not in a popularity contest. We are in a truth contest. And we are on the side of truth because we are on the side of life. I know some people are thinking, oh, this woman's gone mad, or she's on her proverbial soapbox and she needs to step down and take it easy. Well, I'm not going to step down and I'm not going to take it easy. And some of you are thinking, oh, she's going to offend somebody. Well, maybe it's time that people get offended. Maybe it's time that they start to hear that truth. Maybe it's time that we let them know that when we support life, we are not those people that sit on the sidelines watching what's going on. When we go back to our homes and we go back to our jobs and we go back to all of the places that we have our area of influence, let's begin to share the truth in love to those around us. As a pro-lifer, we have to reject violence and violent people. Four things happen when we become violent against others. First of all, those middle of the ground people, the people that may not be pro-life, may not be pro-choice, figure it's your decision, do what you want to do. As we start to attack other people, they now become the victim. And those middle of the road people see us as the crazy fanatics that are just trying to get our point across, not even hearing what we want to say. And it's really questionable how many babies you can really save that way. By protesting at clinics and doing those kind of things, you may save, stop somebody from having an abortion for a day, or you may even stop them from having an abortion for a week or so. But in America today, abortions are so readily available, they're going to find one and a place to have it. So is it really helping the cause, putting your energy there? In reality, it really violates who Jesus Christ is. You remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And out of the walls of the city came the people with the torches, and Peter's there, and he's going to help. He runs up, and he whacks off the ear of one of the soldiers. He's going to help Jesus out for being saved. And what does Jesus say to him after he heals the man? He says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then he goes on to say, why did you do that, Peter? If I had wanted to, I could have called down 10,000 angels from heaven to rescue me. All of heaven is at my disposal. And in my words, I don't need your puny help to do what God has in store for me to do. And the fourth thing is that when you attack a pro-choicer, believe it or not, what you're truly saying is, I don't think you're on your throne anymore, God. I don't believe that you have control of the situation. I have to jump in and I have to attack these people and put them in their place and convict them and make them do what they are supposed to do. God's not asleep. He's not just sitting back. He has a plan. He doesn't need our double-barreled shotgun to attack people and put them in their place. We have to think about this. We are to hate the sinning and love the sinner. But if your hatred of the sin has also caused you to hate the sinner, then you've missed the love of God. You've missed the example that Jesus Christ has shown. Because when our Lord Jesus hung on the cross for the just and the unjust, looking at the very people who crucified him, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When will we understand that violence only leads to violence, which leads to more violence? But what about an eye for an eye, you might think? Well, there's a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that I think works well. He said, well, if I poke out your eye, then you're going to poke out mine. So I'm going to poke out your other eye, and then you're going to poke out my other eye. And after a while, we're all going to go blind. Violence leads to violence, which leads to violence, which leads to violence. At some point, we as a church have to say enough is enough. The real violence is being done inside the abortion clinic. And every time we attack somebody outside, we take the focus away from where it ought to be, what's going on inside those buildings. There's only one way that we are going to win this battle, and it's not through killing our enemies or even changing the laws about abortion. Through gentle persuasion and sincere prayer, we must win this battle one heart at a time. God has given us a weapon that the unbeliever does not have, and that's the weapon of prayer. He's given us a weapon which is the mightiest, most powerful weapon in the world. It is a weapon which can change the world. And instead of getting angry, cursing, condemning others, and for goodness sake, instead of injuring people, we should be on our knees in tears, praying for our country. We should be praying for all those who are killing the unborn. Instead of attacking and blowing up Facebook and saying all these things, we need to be on our knees in prayer. But here's the good news. Slowly but surely, we are winning the battle. There are over 4,000 pregnancy resource centers across the United States, and that's 1,000 more than just 20 years ago. There are, in contrast, only 1,500 abortion clinics. Every day, hundreds of women are choosing life because somebody out there is gently sharing the truth about having an abortion. Most women really don't want to do it. The studies show that most women have had an abortion because they feel like they're backed into a corner for some circumstance of their life, and they can see no other way out. We can win this battle, but it's going to take some special weapons. It's going to take spiritual ones. And steps that we can take to be pro-life, first and foremost, it's time that we begin to fast and pray for America. I sat here this morning listening to what's going on in here, and that is just the key. We have got to begin to lift our leadership up in prayer. If we want their hearts to be changed, it's clear in the Bible. God says that he can change the hearts of kings. So our mayors and our president and all the governor, everybody, God can change their hearts. What are we doing in the background supporting to pray for them? It's time to pray for the president, their cabinet, for Congress, for the Supreme Court. We need to speak out in the name of Jesus and share the truth and saving grace of the gospel in the importance of every life. We have to speak boldly about what we feel deeply about. We need to reach out with a message of love to women who have had abortion. I know there are women sitting in this audience today, and some of you I know personally, other ones I don't know, and that's your secret to keep. But here's something that I do know, is that abortion is not good. And something else that I do know is the people sitting in this audience, in this room today, are not judging you. They are not offended by you. They are not putting you down. In the name of Jesus, they are here to love you and to support you. And something that you have to know is that through that love of Jesus Christ, Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. In order to get down to the root of the problem, we as adults have got to start to practice sexual purity. We have to teach it to our teenagers and our children. That's where abortions are coming from. Because young people don't know right from wrong. They're making foolish moral and sexual choices. And their seemingly unimportant decisions of today are negatively affecting their tomorrows. Most of all, we must never give up. We need to turn off the talk shows, turn off the mainstream media. They've been wrong more than they've been right. We need to not look to Fox News. We need to not look to the Gallup polls or the latest things that are going on. We need to turn to the word that God's given to us. God's scripture is true. God's scripture is relevant in the world that we live in today. And we need to go back to that and begin to share it. Another quote from Martin Luther King, and this is probably the most impactful bit of information that I did through all of my preparation. So please listen to this. Our only hope is in the way of love, the way of Jesus. What's wrong with violence is that you can murder a murderer, but you cannot murder murder. It will remain. So as we have knocked out every abortion clinic and the chaos has killed abortion doctors, we've outlawed every abortion in the United States, the murder will remain in the heart of his people. The only way we are going to abolish abortion in the United States and across the world is one heart at a time. So we need to speak out, speak boldly with what we feel deeply about. We need to keep following our Lord and believing in Jesus. We need to lift up his name because Jesus is the one that said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So let's hold up Jesus. And spread that word throughout, because I refuse to sit on the sidelines. And this church is not sitting on the sidelines. This church is training up life disciples. This church is supporting life through supporting the Family Resource Center of Zion. This church has allowed the Resource Center to help 92 different people in the last year, which totaled 436 different visits. 89 of them were female. But three of them were male. That is a new jump in what we're doing. There were three positive pregnancy tests. Praise God, two of them gave birth and raised, parented their children. The third one we know gave birth, and we're not certain whether she allowed adoption or she raised it herself. But that's three babies that were saved. We have distributed 5,160 diapers this year. You've allowed families to receive clothing for their children. You gave toys for us to give at Christmas time. Three women have been forgiven and set free from their abortion. One father's heart was healed from forcing his wife to take the day after pill. Two women are on their path to sexual healing from a post-sexual trauma or being promiscuous in their life. Your preschoolers support us in abundance at our Walk for Life. And this church is welcoming the unmarried or unwed families that come in here expecting their first child. What can you do? What can you do to help us? As you hear, you're doing amazing things. The one thing that we are challenging this year to do, business cards. I have a stack of business cards. I have pens. I have magnets. Take those with you. Because you never know when you're going to come in contact with somebody at your job, somebody at school, somebody with your kids that's in need of that life message. And then if you have a card in your wallet or a pen in your purse, you've got something to hand to them that they can call and get connected with us. I am so grateful for absolutely everything that this church has done to support Family Resource Center of Zion. And like I said, I have the things on the table, also out in the foyer. I have videos, amazing books on pro-life stances, and they're things that have been piled in boxes at the center. They need to get out. They need to be shared with other people. I will be around after the service. to answer questions, to talk with you. If you are uncomfortable and you feel that you have a need to talk about something going on in your life, take my card, call me. I am so willing to talk. And also, I love to pray. And so that's what I would like to do right now, is just pray for us. Father God, I just thank you so much that you are God and I am not. I thank you that you are a sovereign God, a God who cares about us from the moment of conception to our last breath and then for eternity, Lord. You are a God who is compassionate and merciful and a God that forgives. Lord, I just pray that you will bless us with the opportunities that we have to meet people where they're at. Lord, to truly just protect the unborn and those that are contemplating abortion, that we will be put in their lives, be able to speak the truth in love, and keep those lives to where you would have them to be. Lord, I thank you for all the lives that are represented in this room. I just pray an extra blessing upon them, that you will give mercy and grace to their families. Lord, where they're hurting or hurting, that you will bring peace. Heal the bodies that are suffering from illness, Lord, and just draw a peace to each and every person that only you can do. Lord, I thank you for the partnership that they have with Family Resource Center of Zion. I thank you that you will give them the boldness that they need to speak out in the truth that you have of saving grace of lives, not just the unborn and the born, Lord, but of families. I pray that you will welcome these families into this congregation, that they will feel your love, they will feel your presence in every aspect that you have for them to be here. Lord, I do lift up our nation and our president. Lord, I lift up the cities as they are getting ready for elections in April, that you will just bring forth the men and women that you want to be in these positions. Be with them. Give them a heart for you, that they can do your will and your bidding. I just pray that you will take the burdens off of each of us, because we know that you are in control and that you have a plan for each and every one of us. May we just truly focus on you this week and all that you have in store for us, Lord, and just be with us, guide us, direct us. We love you, Lord, and we pray this all in your name. Amen.